Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. Back in the Classic Factory here on a Wednesday, January 26th. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, we got Tass Mellis.
What's going on, everybody?
Hey, Tassie. We got our top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! And finally, making the magic happen, possibly having a little bit of a rough morning over there, super producer JD. We're still seeing the title, just so you know, JD. But
I know why.
Okay.
I know why.
Yeah. Don't worry, the internet is seeing us.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, good.
Being seen.
I love it.
Okay, that's all that matters then, yeah. JD. How you doing, man? How you doing?
I'll be better in about an hour and 40 minutes, probably.
Yeah, we were having some light troubles up here in the Classic Factory, too, hence the late start for the stream teamers joining us live. Thanks for sticking around. Subscribe, like, comment, share the show, tell all your friends about the light problems these guys sometimes have here in the Classic.
Yeah, and we're not seeing ourselves because we had another shoot going on, so we had to change the wiring. We've got a great top five coming for you that we filmed, so that's what's happening, that's what's going on. If you like,
here we go, JD.
If you like halftime performers, this top five is for you. Stay tuned to our No Dunks channel.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, top five later on our YouTube feed. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, @NoDunksInc. Fun show once again lined up here. I think we have a ton to talk about. This is going to be longer than an hour 40.
You better stock up on energy.
Yeah, this will probably be 2 hours long today. We're going to get to the top trade candidates for each Western Conference team. We did the East on yesterday's Daily Show. We'll do the West later in today's show. We'll also share our thoughts on the new Rising Stars format when we get to Tweet of the Night, because that was the news breaking yesterday. But we start with the games from last night, and I thought it'd be a fun way to tackle these games and these crazy results with a little What You Got.
What you got?
What you got?
What you got?
Yeah, what you got? First one, I need to know. What was the more devastating loss last night? The Kings losing by 53 points to the Celtics, or the Wizards blowing a 35-point lead to the Clippers? Trey, what you got?
Skeets, please call these two teams by their names. The Kangs and the Czars.
Yeah.
They were out in full force last night. Honestly, two brutal ways to lose. Yep. But I got to go with the Czars for a couple of reasons. Number one, I feel like the Kings actually flew under the radar, losing by 53 last night. They barely got a mention on the Daily Ding, just kind of tossed in there at the end. Oh, yeah, by the way, the Kings lost by 53, as you were expecting. Number two, not the worst loss of the season. That was, of course, the Thunder by 73 not too long ago, so the Kings just second place, no problem. But number three, Skeets, thanks to you for this one. The Czars lost to the Narda. I've seen the Bulls blow a 35-point lead. I vividly remember watching it on Twitter and the Bulls getting dragged. It's not fun. But they didn't lose with two bombs from Luke Kennard plus a 4-point play, all coming after a 5-second call when all they had to do was like run to the ball and get it in. And the game is probably over at that time. But number four, this really sealed it for me. Wizards reporter Chris Miller describing the scene in the locker room after the game.
I was in the back watching them go into the locker room, and they were shell-shocked. I literally walked past Coach Unseld. This was stunning. Is this rock bottom? Is this what rock bottom looks like?
That's dark stuff there.
It's depressing.
It's like he witnessed a tragedy.
Yeah.
It's a game in January. Oh, my goodness. But, oh, disgusting stuff from the Wizards. That was so bad that even if you just looked at the last 25 seconds, I think you would still say that that's the worst loss between that and the Kings losing by 53. The Wizards were up by 7 with 25 seconds left.
Yeah.
No.
You have to try to lose that game. So, I don't know. Yeah. I think they should just trade every single player on their team today.
Well, it's fun to play body language doctor with players. But now, you showed us the sideline reporter, the play-by-play man, even our own David Aldridge. If you want to play body language doctor with everybody who's watched the Washington Wizards over the last couple decades, it sure feels like there's something coming the next 2 weeks after that 35-point barrage. And I say the next 2 weeks, because that's when the trade deadline is. And I don't want to overreact and say one game will dictate a direction for a team, but it's been a coming for this team, right? And I think here it is in a wild, wild finish. Okay, so Luke Kennard hits a bomb, 8 seconds left. All they have to do is inbound.
Yeah.
Nobody comes to the ball.
No.
So Kyle Kuzma just holds it, a 5 second violation because nobody wants to come to the ball. And then it's a 3 point lead. All right, it's a 3 point lead. So you just got a foul in the backcourt, and a leader on the floor goes to the referee and says, "Hey, we're going to foul.
Right.
We are going to intentionally foul." That didn't happen because they tried to foul Justice Winslow half-heartedly. They tried to foul Luke Kennard before the shot half-heartedly, both Beal and Dinwiddie. Can't get a pass on
that play. The two leaders on the team.
Yeah, they've got to say something. And really, Dinwiddie could have stole the ball. I think Justice Winslow's pass was right there for the pickings if Spencer Dinwiddie wanted to slap it away. And here we are. And I say it's been a long time coming because this team started 10-3, which seems like eons ago, but they've gone 13-22 since. And it feels like they are picking a direction here, which may be to implode this team. And I love the sound of the Washington's building during that 10-3 run. But it's a weird thing with the play-in tournament in that you can be a mediocre team led by Denny Avdia and Rui Hachimura and the non-Beal guys and be like a 10th or 11th place team.
Yeah.
It's like the argument going on in Major League Baseball. Some teams say, hey, why don't we expand the playoff bracket? And MLB says, well, then no one will go for it. No one will try and be part of that exclusive club of those two, three, four best teams in each league. And I can see that argument when you look at the Washington Wizards, because would you rather pay Bradley Beal come this offseason for 5 consecutive years at $48 million per and be an 8th, 9th, or 10th place team? Or would you rather trade off Beal and be a 9th, 10th, or 11th place team without Bradley Beal? I mean, I think you could still be okay with a different makeup to this team where guys work a little bit harder. It took so many things to go wrong there, and it took so many things for this team to be, again, 13-22 in their last 35 games.
What's insane about all of this is that the Clippers have like 3 of the biggest comebacks we've seen in you know, quite a while. Not just this one, which was the second largest comeback in NBA history. The Zards coming, the Clippers coming back from 35, you know, late in the second quarter here against Washington. But they've had other ones in the past like month. 20-plus, you know, deficits that they've erased. So this is sort of their thing. And, yeah, there's no Paul George in this game. Of course, no Kawhi Leonard. So it's pretty amazing. And you do got to give them some credit. And, yeah, the Nard Dog, that bomb that he hit.
Both of them,
huge
great shots.
And then, yeah, the 4-point play, even though, what are you doing? Justice Winslow had the ball. This is, like, not a good free throw shooter. Last I checked, he's probably, like, a 60% free throw shooter. I don't know, maybe a little bit better than that. Like, you foul him. You've given up at that point already a 30-point lead that you had. Like, just put him on the line and then hit your own free throws and you win the game. But that was like, there's just, yeah, they half-heartedly tried to foul him. He should have been fouled in the backcourt.
Yeah.
Like, right away. He's got the ball. Why does he have the ball? Foul him. He probably misses one anyway and you somehow escape. But brutal. I did see Tom Ziller, noted Kings fan. He said in his article this morning in his newsletter, quote, Sacramento owes the Wizards a fruit basket for pulling some attention off them. And that's what you were saying, Trey, because like, what is worse, blowing a huge lead? That sucks, but at least you had a lead. You played well for a half. Or in the Kings case, they were behind double digits in a blink of an eye to a Celtics team, too. That is not like an elite team. I mean, they're getting it together here. They're finally starting to figure out some things out. They're getting some wins, but they're like not one of the best teams in the league. 5 minutes the game was over. Kings never led, never even got close. And Trey, you're always saying, you know, first half leads, they're not real.
This one was real.
Yeah. So I almost, I guess my point is to set all this up is like, I'm almost leaning towards the Kings being the more devastating because they're just not even in the game.
But nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares at all. Okay. I thought the worst part of it was afterwards they asked, Tyrese Haliburton was asked, how do you let the stink of the Kings not get on you? He's like, I'm not going to let the culture of what the Kings have been run my life. I got to fix this.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was an interesting... That's a good answer.
That's a great answer for a terrible question to be asked.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you let the team that you are signed up to play for the next five seasons, how do you let that not take over your life so you're a sad boy like De'Aaron Fox? Basically is what he was asked. Right. And he's like, well, I don't know. But we're gonna.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I don't know. Tom Ziller is right. The Kings should send gift baskets to the Wizards because losing a 35-point lead is a lot worse. You can tell because didn't the Wizards just got smacked as well? They lost by 29 to the Celtics, and Beal's like, this was actually 10 times worse. So he knows.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
He needs to be traded. If I'm the Wizards, no chance I want to pay him to continue to be a 7th or 8th seed. We've seen enough of Bradley Beal as the number one guy. He was good as a number two guy. That's where he belongs, I do believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, they're probably kicking themselves. They should have traded him when his value was much, much higher. Not that it's like you're not going to get a nice little haul back. I think that's, you know, he's still an elite player at that position. But, I mean, when he's scoring 30 per game is when you're probably really wishing you maybe moved him if you're ultimately going to. Now he's having a down year. The team sucks, and he might be a... Well, he appears to be checked out, too. This whole squad does right now.
Yeah, a lot of loaded comments from him after this game about his future with the team. And he keeps on saying the right thing on one hand, that he wants to be with the team. On the other hand, he's all about winning. And if they're not winning, then things could go awry. And as Trey said yesterday, everyone's lying right now as we head to the trade deadline. So don't believe anybody. Although I do believe the Pacers and that they're trying to blow it up. And I bring up the Pacers because I think there are a lot of sellers out there. And if you're trying to trade Beal in this next 2 weeks, yeah, Beal's value ain't the highest. But it's also brought down a little bit because there's other guys on the market. And we'll talk about all the Western Conference teams and who they could trade coming up in the next block. The Blazers could be trading some big names. The Pacers are trading big names. So does that bring Beal's value down, especially if we're looking at these next 2 weeks? I think so. Mm-hmm. I think that plays a part. But yeah, the Kings... Specifically with this question, the Kings just aren't a story because they lose games all the time. But this is a better story when we're talking about this Clippers comeback as they come back over and over and over again in the second half. They sat all their starters. They put their bench guys out there. Reggie Jackson, Batum, Zubats, sit down. Bledsoe play a few minutes, but the guys who did it were two-way, Amir Coffey, Luke Kennard, Terrence Mann, second-round pick. Those types of guys scored 40 in the third quarter, 40 in the fourth quarter, 80 points. That's a smack. That's a smack.
That's
Washington
a smack.
Walked out. They walked out of their locker room at half and didn't give a flying poop. Like, on any of those possessions, even when Luke Kennard hit that free throw, you got a second left. I thought the Kyle Kuzma inbounds.
He's just like, who cares? He just chucked it.
Yeah.
It goes, and actually, it actually got to Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah.
He should have caught it. He would have had a decent look at it.
But he was done. Everybody's done. They could have ran a little play. They could have ran that play that LeBron hit that game-winning shot in Washington a couple of years back, if you remember that beauty bomb, LeBron spin, three-point shot. Now it's LeBron, and that was a nice shot. But the Wizards could have run a play. But they were all done.
Just a quick trivia question in regards to the Kings' loss. They were down 60 at one point in the fourth quarter, too, so they made it manageable there, losing only by 53. Who led the Kings in scoring last night?
Beno Udrih.
No. 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 Any guess?
Well,
I'd give you the
Yorgos
number.
Yorgos Papayannis.
No. It's not that. It's not that crazy a name. Buddy Hield.
Okay.
11 points.
Bud.
What a dumb team.
Oh, let's hear from everybody in the stream team.
Alvin, what did Alvin? Why did Alvin do this?
Okay, if the Kings called the Wizards, I think it was Hootsky that said this in the stream team. If the Kings call the Wizards and say, our roster for your roster, straight up, who says no?
I think the Wizards.
You think the Wizards would say no? I guess, I mean, theoretically, Beal is the best player between those two teams, but I'm like... It seems to me the more responsibility you give Beal, the worse the offense is and the worse the team is.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
They haven't won 50% of their games since he's been the number one guy. They just keep losing.
Wow, that's it.
And he was struggling to begin the year,
and
they were winning. That's weird.
Whoa, it's very weird. It is very weird.
Mm-hmm. I take the Wizards. I take the Wizards because I'm trading.
Nobody wants either of these teams.
I'll take the one team because I'm trading a bunch of them. And so I'm turning the Wizards guys. I think they have more value in terms of what they would bring back. But I'm not taking them because I want them to play basketball.
Right. Well, yeah. What do you set the over-under on if you take the Kings roster and the Wizards roster on how many of those guys are traded before the deadline? The number of players. I set the line at 5.5. For each team?
Or total?
Like combined.
Yeah, sure.
That 5.5, maybe even 4.5. Yeah. That's like extra long.
Good line.
Yeah, not a bad line.
Yeah, nice right. line setter.
Thank you, man.
I'm going over.
I think I would too.
You should be calling Tommy Shepard right now. If you're any team in the league, calling Tommy Shepard, say, your team's terrible, buddy. Bradley Beal doesn't want to be there. What? He's the number one guy in the trade market right now. I don't think Lillard is going to be traded. Right. Simmons, we'll see, but I'm taking Beal over Simmons for the most part. They should be calling. Tommy Shepard should be on the phone 100% of the minutes available today.
Well, let's hear, with all of these questions, with what you got from the stream team, for everybody listening or maybe watching later, give your answers on Twitter at NoDunksInc or in the YouTube comments. And yes, we're back to our light
Half
issues
light.
Here in the Classic Factory. JD's going to kick something. I can see it coming.
Kind of lit. We're kind of lit.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll power through here. Our next question. The better bounce back win, okay? Because both of these teams were coming off a loss. But they got a victory last night. The Lakers or the Raptors? Tass, what you got?
Well, the Lakers were part of our swear jar just a day ago. So for them to come back in a very demonstrative fashion, I loved watching this game. I loved watching Bron in New York. And I forgot about LeBron and how he loves to play on the road. He loves to put on a show.
Right.
And he said post-game, I didn't get a chance to play in Madison Square Garden earlier this year because I was suspended for a game.
Oh, yeah.
And this is year 19 for the man. So he gets up. He needs things to get him motivated like mm-hmm. anybody here. You know, this is year 16 for us on the Basketball Jones / the Starter / the Free Agent / No Dunk. So sometimes we need some motivators, and this was a show. It was great. Just the fact that Anthony Davis came back, how much of a spark did he provide that team defensively?
Yep.
He was just there in the lane.
He had 3 blocks in the first 7 minutes.
Right, and he barely played. He had a 25-minute right. game, scored 8 points, so the box score means, you know, it looks bad, but the on-court performance defensively, just to give his guys that steady rock behind him, it's so different. I've said it, I'll say it again. Last year, Lakers were the number one team defensively, with Dennis Schroeder being their point guard out front, but they had LeBron, they had Anthony Davis, and those guys and their effort level, that trickled down to all their guys. So that, to me, is why Frank Vogel deserved to be the head coach until Anthony Davis came back, because right. they didn't have their full roster. Like Anthony Hardaway complaining about his Memphis Tigers and how they're judged by the media, they didn't have their full roster. The Lakers didn't have their full roster, but now AD is there. And yeah, AD was there the first couple months, you may say. But listen, he was also in chill mode too the first couple months. So I think this is when they turn it on to be a little bit better team. And the fact that they're playing, look at their starting lineup. It's AD and LeBron. They decided, all right, Trevor, you have a seat. Trevor Ariza, have a seat. This is who they're playing around those two guys to start. Avery Bradley, Stanley Johnson, and Russell Westbrook. Just defensive-minded guys besides Westbrook as their spark plug, because they just want that intensity, and it worked along with their bench. So I believe in this Lakers team, you know, to be a far better team. They scored 27 transition points, and that was the difference in this game. The energy from, you know, Bron on down, mm-hmm. especially with AD out there, a different team. So I got to go with the Lakers, because are we going to have a swear jar anymore?
I don't think we've really actually gone overboard with them.
Nah.
If I'm being honest.
We didn't actually put the jar out.
But what did you think of AD's return? I mean, immediate impact. He finished an oop and then hit a jumper. And like Tess said, not a crazy box score. He only played 25 minutes. But I thought you saw why they're a much better team when he's out there.
This guy's pretty good. I'm taking Dwight Howard off the top 75, sliding him back in. Right away. Just like that. Sorry, Dwight. You had one day. But the Lakers, to me, look like the team they're supposed to look like. You mentioned the 27 fast break points. They also had 12 steals. A lot of that was LeBron was like super active. Those two dunks were incredible to see, though. I don't know. I couldn't help noticing, like, LeBron just doesn't jump as high these days anymore. He still jumps very high. He can still dunk. But that windmill, he was kind of on the way down when he threw it down. That was a little sad to me to see. But
I was a tiny bit worried he was going to hitch himself on that.
Yeah, but they were just so active. And I thought they were excited to have Davis back. They know that their defense looks the way it's supposed to. And that's the key for the Lakers. They're still not going to be a great half-court team. It'll be fine when it's Anthony Davis and LeBron running pick and roll come playoff time. But they need to get out in transition and score some buckets. So I thought that was really good. Held the Nets to 96 points. Not the full strength Nets team, but still holding the team under 100 is pretty tough. And they got Anthony Davis back. So a lot of return to form and a player actually returning. I thought that was great stuff from LA.
Malik Monk hitting a bunch of threes is always going to help, too, once they get into these playoff series. You're going to need some shooters out there around LeBron and AD. That's usually the recipe to make to have success in the playoffs with him. Did you guys see the clip of LeBron talking to Austin Reeves? People saying some galaxy ship brain stuff, and that Austin Reeves was struggling to compute what LeBron was saying. Here's the clip for everybody joining us on YouTube. All right, he's telling Austin Reeves, go over here. Your man's over here. No, you got to get over there and then come underneath. Oh, Austin Reeves. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I said it was very similar to when Lee starts talking about the test cricket match in the 90s between England and Australia. And it's like us going, yeah, sure, I don't know. I guess so.
Yeah, looked also like Tony Stark explaining intergalactic warfare to Peter Parker.
Yes, true.
But I do think it's pretty instructive that Austin Reeves is pointing to the complete other side of the floor of LeBron. Like, what is LeBron seeing that he's completely flipped over on the other side? I don't know. I'd love to hear the breakdown.
Yeah, some sort of offensive play strategy that they're supposed to be doing there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're not going to side with the Toronto Raptors here when talking about a bounce back win?
I will say quickly about them, because again, we have so much to get to still here. They did overcome the absence of Fred VanVleet last night, and then Scotty Barnes. So VanVleet was out with a right sore knee, and Barnes was a late scratch, like an hour before the game, because of a sore right wrist. So we get Pascal Siakam starting at point. Spicy P at the point. He was incredible. It was amazing. He had 12 assists. I mean, everything was sort of going through him. And this was just a really somewhat surprising, playing a good Hornets team. Mm-hmm. And much needed sort of victory. Gary Trent Jr. was on fire. He hit a bunch of threes last night. And the Raptors without VanVleet, I saw Michael Grange with this stat this morning. Over the last, year, going back to last season, in 22 games VanVleet was out, the Raptors were 4-18. Like, he's very important. I saw Dan Devine's got Fred VanVleet starting for his Eastern Conference All-Star team. I couldn't believe it.
Nope.
I couldn't believe it. But anyway, they're really bad when VanVleet doesn't play because he does everything for them.
Totally.
And Siakam really picked up the slack last night.
Yeah.
So I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, and it's kind of fun sometimes to watch like a Gary Trent Jr. type of guy just fire away.
Yeah.
Like, you have the license to shoot 20 times, and it paid off. He had 21 shots leading the team in shots and banging home threes. But, Pascal, bounce-back season. We're talking about a bounce-back game here. Bounce-back season for him and the reputation that he has. So much love. I find it odd watching Raptors games a lot of the times because they're still acting like they have fans out there. Toronto has zero fans. Yeah. They have told fans that they are not allowed to come. And a lot of the time, still part of the PA is like, here we go, fans, make some noise.
Yeah, it's a little weird, isn't it?
Our friend Will Liu put up a screenshot of what they had on the video board. Fans, get loud! Like, what?
There's nobody there! Like,
we can change it up. You know, it's weird.
That's just for the Raptor.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
He's like, all right, let's go!
And even he can't make noise, apparently.
Get over there!
Booker's telling him to get in the corner. Yeah. All right, let's keep it going here. JD, let's check in with you real quick. Are you doing all right over there? I know the light's still causing your problems. Now you're turning around other lights.
I don't know what's going on with this thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll get some candles during the break.
Woo, we'll set the mood. Maybe we'll pour ourselves a bath. All right, next one here. Best box score of the night. Jokic, Embiid, or Anthony Edwards, who I have to note had 40 points and 0 assists as Wolves pulled out a close win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta apologize here. Gotta apologize. No beef.
No.
No beef.
Wow, for Jokic.
No beef. Yeah. Wow. I already owe a Nurkic beef. I know the Blazers fans are all about that, but Skeets, I've got a laptop the same vintage as yours.
Yeah?
That's my beef computer.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-oh.
It's clogged, buddy. Clogged up with beef.
Really?
Detritus. Can't find my hard drive. I gotta restart my computer every morning just to make the dumb pick'em graphic. Gotta let the beef build. So
why are we falling? What's going on here? Why are we falling apart? We've only been in the Classic Factory for a couple weeks here. We got computers dying.
Well, see, I brought my new one for the new Classic Factory. I said this is going to be a pure computer. I'm only going to look at the freshest streams. I'm never going to click a weird ad. It's going to be perfect. But
All right. They've seen a computer.
Yeah. You like this?
It's so
you like
new.
This? Yeah. I can tell you, though, this is this one's going to get clogged with detritus as well, which is too bad. But
detritus.
So what's your answer to this? Is it Jokic, but you just don't have the beef? Or is it Embiid, who's a monster still, or Anthony Edwards?
That's a great life? Question. Yeah. Great question. Thanks for asking.
No problem.
I would say it's a choose-your-own-adventure, Skeets.
Jesus.
I know you're Ellis thinking answer. I would go Jokic because of the beef. 28, 21, and 9. Only 9 of 20 from the field. I know that would hurt if you're making a whoa boy choice. Yeah. I did see Stan Van Gundy tweeted that there have been 12 20-20 games in the NBA this season, which apparently Quentin Richardson calls a Barbara Walters.
2020.
Yeah, sure.
Not bad. Okay. Nikola Jokic has 4 of them all in the last 5 weeks. That's pretty cool. Then I got dumb by getting smart. I said, what if I add up points, rebounds, and assists? Simple. Then it's Embiid. 42 points, 14 rebounds, 4 assists. That's 60. Jokic only has 58.
Oh, jeez.
Ergo, Embiid, better than Jokic. Of course, the Pelicans rested everybody. Didn't play Jonas Valanciunas, which was the big one. That being said, according to StatMuse, this is Joel Embiid's 5th straight game he's had more points than minutes.
Wow.
Eat your heart out, Bob McAdoo. Then I said, math sucks.
Right.
Ham really sucks. Math even worse. What's the coolest box score? Anthony Edwards, no doubt. 40 points, 9 rebounds, 27 shots, 0 assists. I love it. Afterwards, they asked him, what's it like to take over a game in the fourth quarter? He said, I felt like Black Jesus. So his line is probably the most underwhelming of the three, but I like it the most. And the main takeaway from this is that one or maybe two of Jokic and Embiid is going to be very disappointed at the end of the season. Because they're both going to have massive MVP-like numbers. Like, Jokic has been better this season than he was last season when he won MVP. Doesn't feel like he's going to win it, even though he's at the top of the Basketball Reference MVP tracker.
Right.
They're kind of in the same spot right now, honestly. They're both in sixth place in their conference. Both of their teams, the story has been more about who's not there than who's actually playing. And they just don't necessarily have the wins or the narrative right now. If either of these teams can win, like, 10 games in a row, somehow get into the top three of their conference, finish in the top three, then I think they would have a chance at winning MVP. Otherwise, right now, it's too close to call.
It's very, very close. Of these box scores last night, though, what you got when it comes to the better one?
Well, I would go with Jokic because of how he was playmaking out there. Totally same scenario with the Sixers where you have to rely on him a lot more, and that's kind of the benefit of watching the Denver Nuggets play the Detroit Pistons yesterday. I know the casual NBA fan wasn't watching this game, but because they don't have Jamal Murray and Michael Porter, they're not blowing anybody out, so Jokic has to be on the floor for 48 minutes, and it is marvelous just watching him do everything. What he does, what Embiid doesn't do, is Jokic brings the ball up a little bit more. The plays are made through him a little bit more. Obviously, the passing is a little bit through him a little bit more. And he just can react. Everybody knows on the other side that you got to take the ball out of his hands. He's going to make the plays. So the pressure's on this guy. And he is amazing. Just to watch. Just pick apart everybody. So yeah. I watched this game because I'm a sicko, and I watched him dropping those dimes to everybody. And it's fun to watch him. It's obviously fun to play with him. The four guys on the floor, it's fun as a spectator to watch what they're doing because they know Jokic is going to drop each of them something. If I run, if I cut here, cut there, then if I take away one of his defenders somehow, then he's going to make a marvelous play. I mean, he's going behind the back as he dribbles up court. So I would take him, and yeah, another 20-20 game for him. So it's hard. The Edwards 40 points and 0 assists is pretty special as well. It doesn't happen very. He's calling himself Black Jesus. He says next year he's going to win the MVP. A lot of lines after this game.
This kid.
Yeah, he's special. So three guys noteworthy for very different reasons. But Trey's right in that when we get to the end of the year, Jokic and Embiid hanging around the MVP table. Unfortunately, even though Jokic having a better season than last year, he's probably not going to win it.
Probably not. Embiid is having a better season than he had last year, and he finished runner-up.
Yeah.
I went to check, too. I forgot I did take Embiid in our season preview shows for MVP. And
not bad.
Didn't look good for a while when he was missing a ton of games, but he's definitely sitting at the table, as we talked about, and he's just a monster right now. He is just like the Sixers wish the playoffs started tomorrow. Like, forget about what they're doing at the deadline. I mean, this guy can win. He can win you series. He can take you. He's playing at that elite level. Jokic is right there, too, that you are winning playoff series with that guy as your number one guy. We've seen it with Giannis. We've obviously seen it with LeBron. It's pretty amazing. You imagine you took those two guys off the teams right now? Like, how bad the Nuggets would be if Jokic didn't play.
Right.
And Embiid and the Sixers. I mean, it's not. It's probably a little bit better than the Nuggets, I'd imagine. Like, that. They would be horrible.
And they have hope that Jamal Murray is going to come back, and right now they're four games above 500. And if Jamal Murray comes back, the reason why I picked Jokic as the MVP is because I had the hope that he would be able to prop them up into the top four seeds of the Western Conference, and it ain't that far, especially considering that, yeah, they think Jamal Murray is going to come back, and I don't think Michael Porter Jr. is lost for the season either. So there's hope in the latter half of the season, especially with Kevin Durant and his injury and things, and Steph Curry being ice cold. So things are shaking up at the table. People are going to the bathroom. people are taking their calls, and their seats could be stolen.
I think the table right now, there's only five seats at the MVP table. You're right. A couple guys have gotten up. Maybe they're at the bar, or they're in the washroom, or checking, like, you know, if the time on their parking has expired.
Yeah.
It is definitely Jokic, Embiid, Giannis, and then I think right now it is Chris Paul and Ja Morant. I think those are the five sitting there, with Curry at the bar, with Durant, unfortunately, he's outside right now. He's checking on his car because of injury and stuff like that. That's my five right now.
I think I would be between Curry and Ja Morant. I agree. Morant's definitely had he's the MVP of late between those two, but you can't throw out the first 2 months of the season.
Hey, I'm totally fine with that. Maybe they're sharing a seat. Yep. All right, final one here.
They're small.
Yeah, better rookie performance. I did want to slip this in here because Cade Cunningham had a monster line in the Pistons' loss against the Nuggets. Awesome, awesome line. Or Jonathan Kuminga for the Warriors, who blew out the Mavericks there last night. He barely missed a shot. So, Tass, what you got? Better rookie performance last night.
I got to go with Cade.
Okay.
The overall game for him was spectacular, and just like we talked about Jokic, so much on his shoulders in that game. On the other side of the floor, so much on Cade's shoulders just to create everything, and he responded. These were special numbers. With Kuminga, it's different, obviously, because Steph's still out there. Klay's out there taking off pressure. But Cade, to be able to shoot 14 of 26 and 6 of 9 from 3 with all that pressure, he just takes his time and gets into his shot. 6 threes for this young kid. And then he was instigating things on the other end as well. He had a great chase down block of Aaron Gordon. He had 4 blocks in this game. A 35-5 game, youngest in franchise history, passing Isaiah Thomas. When you're in that category, that's some good stuff. He had a slow start to the season. And he is, again, wise beyond his years, just like I keep saying about Evan Mobley and Cade. Like we just said about the MVP race, it seemed like Mobley and Barnes were way out there ahead, but Cade is definitely tracking them down, and he is so comfortable taking his shots at his own pace, creating for guys. 34, just to go over the line again, 34 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds, 4 blocks, creating for everybody. And he was asked about not getting calls after the game. Another wise comment. He said, listen, I control what I can control, number one. Which sounds like, you know, an Instagram quote for billions of people out there.
Yeah.
Smart. And then he said, you know, maybe if we win more, we'll get some calls. So he's a cool customer. I'm sure his teammates, like Jokic's teammates, love playing with him because he gets everybody involved. So it's a bright, bright future for Cade and that team. And we'll see how they shake it around the next 2 weeks here around him, because I think they're going to switch it up a little bit, but I would go with Cade over Jonathan Kuminga.
What about you?
Yeah, I think Cade is an easy choice. The way he was just bodying Austin Rivers in the post was pretty impressive. It looked like he was a 10-year veteran, and Austin Rivers was the rookie, to be quite honest. I mean, Cade Cunningham, I don't know. I know he started as a post player and has a wicked hook shot. I remember reading that in his pre-draft evaluations, but seeing him work on Rivers, that was pretty impressive. I will say Kuminga had the best highlight.
Yeah.
Huge dunk. Of course, 17 of his points came in the fourth quarter, which was all garbage time.
Yep.
But the dunk was pretty cool.
Yes.
That was a nice one.
I was feeling pretty vindicated watching the Cade Cunningham performance last night, because I think it was like, who knows? Time is weird. But maybe 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, we had that whole debate here on the show in the Classic Factory about, like, if you redid the draft right now, you know, who goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? And I remember, I think it was you and Lee at the time, talking about, maybe it is Mobley, and I think the Pistons, and I was like, nah, I still think Detroit would very happily keep with Cunningham at number one. As great as Mobley had played, as great as Barnes had played, and, you know, these are reasons why. You see it. You can see it even when he was struggling. The guy is a damn awesome basketball player, and it's he's starting to just like become accustomed to the speed of the game and stuff like that, and taking control. Also just the idea of like, this is my team. You know, yeah, Jeremy Grant's the better player probably right now on the Pistons, but not going to be for long.
Not for long.
So awesome game. Kuminga had the highlights, you're right, and the good box score as well. But let's hear from everybody. Best rookie performance from last night, Cade or Kuminga. Okay, we're going to take our first break. We'll get the candles out.
Sweet.
Flashlights, maybe?
Lumos.
Oh, excellent. So when we come back, we will look at the top trade candidates from each Western Conference team. We'll be right back.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Hey guys, whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. No sound effects, I don't have them loaded up, and I got too much going on over here. Good news guys, I finally got the notification from Shopify that the pickle bottle paddle I've had my eye on is back in stock.
Yes.
I have not purchased it yet. Oh. Why? Because I stink at pickleball! Got my ass handed to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So bad. Anyway, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented soap or peddling pickleball paddles, how's that for alliteration?
Nice one.
Thank you. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen's, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. By the way, did you know Shopify is Canadian?
No.
I
did not know that.
Headquarters in Ottawa.
Wow.
Homer. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify.com/NoDucks.
All right, back in the Classic Factory. Let's get to some trade candidates for the Western Conference teams.
Yeah, it was fun doing the East yesterday.
I think it was more difficult doing the West.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there were some teams I really, really struggled with. We'll move through these alphabetically once again. Again, these are just guys on these particular teams that I could see that particular organization saying, okay, we could move this guy for whatever reason, because maybe of a player you get back, maybe it helps your books, whatever. So, Dallas Mavericks, guys. I think it's two possible impending free agents, because I don't think they're going to be able to trade Tim Hardaway Jr. and his contract, especially now he just got injured last night as we wait to see how serious that foot injury was. But I'm going Dorian Finney-Smith, DFS, and Jalen Brunson. Again, four reasons. Yes, I know. The Brunson, he's played so well.
Yeah.
But you can't tell me there would be a bunch of teams that would be intrigued by him. You talked about the Knicks needing a point guard.
Yeah, that's
my
a good
God.
One.
You know, would they... Would the Mavs willingly trade Brunson if they don't think they're going to be able to keep him in free agency for Mitchell Robinson, let's say, and a pick of some sort, like a second-round pick or something like that? You know, is there something, is there a deal there
that
could be worked?
That's exciting because so, that's a need for a need rather than teams looking for the future. Because Mitchie, I think, could help... I'm taking Lee's role here of using nicknames. Mitchell Robinson could help the Mavs in the front court and change their their sort of log jam there. Would Porzingis move over to the four in that instance? Yeah, maybe Mitchell Robinson could sort of be like, you know, the Warriors and the Lakers have had in the past. Mitchell Robinson starts, plays 20 minutes, then Porzingis moves over. I know it's difficult, though, because we say the Mavs need a playmaker, and then they're going to trade Jalen Brunson. Feels a little off, but I understand they have a lot of money locked up with other guys.
They do, but both these guys I did list, they're good players. So they, you know, the Mavericks are they're in the playoffs. They're going to be in playoff series, so they want to obviously have some success here around Luka and Porzingis. But I just struggled outside of those guys to sort of find someone that made really sense. Because again, I don't think anybody's taking Tim Hardaway Jr.
Yeah, not after the injury last night. But it is weird because they need playmakers and they need defense. The defense has been pretty solid lately while the Mavericks have been stringing together some wins. And a lot of that is Dorian Finney-Smith is kind of their best perimeter defender. So I don't know. It feels like the Mavericks need to make a move and it's going to be tough for them to do so. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, Dwight Powell? He's an important player for them as well. Maxi Kleber's an important player for them as well. But they have a lot of players who would be solid role players away from Dallas, just like they have been there, but they need something to take them into the next echelon of the Western Conference.
With Brunson specifically, like, what type of deal is he going to be looking at in free agency? That's like you got to start figuring out if you're the Dallas Mavericks. Like, you know, can we or are we willing? We going to pay him X amount? And if we're not, then you sometimes, unfortunately, go, well, let's get something in return.
It's going to be something like they've given to their own players. They gave Reggie Bullock, you know, 3 for 30 or so, and Tim Hardaway that 4 for 75, probably somewhere in between.
I think it's
going
to be closer to Tim Hardaway Jr. than it is to Bullock.
Yeah, I could see the $50 million range, you know. 3 for 50,
he's
4 for 60.
He's played great. He has played himself into a pretty good contract.
Yeah, so, you know, and you want him on your roster.
Yeah.
I think it might be a year out that the Mavericks have to make a move because they've got so much money tied into those guys. I mentioned Reggie Bullock, obviously hasn't worked out. Kleber, Powell, signed through next year. They've got $140 million locked up already for next season. So, they might have to wait until contracts expire next season. But yeah, things are going so well for them right now.
Bobby Marks, though, he reminded me Dallas has a possibly valuable trade asset in basically an $11 million trade exception that they created last offseason. Could come into play here at the deadline. They're well positioned below the luxury tax right now, $16.4 million of room, so they could get in some help. All right, to the Denver Nuggets. I have nobody on my list because they already made a move. This is the thing, right? They acquired Bryn Forbes from the Spurs as part of that three-team deal that involved Boston. But go through their roster, and maybe I'm missing a name, but there's no chance they're moving Jokic. Obviously not Murray or Porter being injured. Aaron Gordon can't be traded and won't be because of his extension. So then you're like, Will Barton, Morris, a couple greens, throw in your compost there, and Jeff and Jermichael. And Jermichael Green would have to approve a trade anyway. Campazzo, Bones Highland, I don't see it. I don't think they're going to be all that active here at the deadline. Am I wrong? You tell me.
Well, Jeff Green might get traded. He just might, you know?
Yeah, but
there's like two or three teams he hasn't played for yet. So he might get traded.
It's like he's trying to collect them all on a card, like he's trying to get a Subway sandwich. Okay.
Yeah, play for 20 teams, get the next 10 free. He's getting close. But I'm kind of with you. It feels like their move is going to be getting players healthy, whether that is Michael Porter Jr., if he's able to come back, or Jamal Murray a little bit later in the season. And, you know, Bryn Forbes is now going to be part of the rotation as well. It'd be nice if they could figure out a way to get a guard. And maybe if you've got Jeff Green and Jamichael Green, similar sort of players, play at the same kind of position, which is a valuable position around the NBA. So I don't know. I mean, like the Mavericks, Jamichael Green, $8.2 million. That fits into an $11 million trade exception there.
It does. It does. Tass, what do you think? Or are the Nuggets like, they already made their move. They got a shooter in Forbes. And then their hope is we get Murray and maybe even Porter Jr. back. These are our moves that we've been, because of Jokic, we're a 500 squad. Wait till those guys come back.
Yeah, it feels like they just sign everybody every week. They're signing a G Leaguer or a 10-dayer or somebody deep in the queue. So I don't think they...
Right, Cousins, they, right?
Yeah, yeah, and Cousins. Yeah, I don't think they deplete their roster anymore. I think they just try and add through Porter and Murray, who I have hope for will be back in the next couple months.
Okay, let's go to the Golden State Warriors then. I have James Wiseman at the top of the list. Now, he hasn't played the number two pick from the draft a couple of years ago, but he, to me, would be him, maybe Moody. I think Kuminga does feel a little bit untouchable. You know, we've heard reports about that. But if they're looking to move one of their young, you know, very interesting prospects, he would be in the mix. Now, here's a proposal. Would the Warriors do this? Would they trade Looney and James Wiseman for Miles Turner with, let's say one first round pick, be it 2022 or even way in the future, 2028, whatever it is. Is that enough of an upgrade to you for the Warriors? Go get Turner in giving up, obviously, you know, a young player in Wiseman and then Looney? Or are you like, you're like, nah, let's just roll with Looney at that point and our picks?
You're saying the Warriors would give up a pick as well?
I would think so.
That's way too much for Miles Turner. I don't think Miles Turner fits at all with the Warriors. Okay. I think he would be a poor fit because he just doesn't have a lot of ball skills, and I always call him Miles the Learner Turner because it feels like he's trying to learn moves as the game is happening. Looney, for all of his limitations and not really being able to jump, he's kind of the perfect center for the Warriors. Yeah. Never needs the ball, moves it, sets good screens, and can play defense. So I don't think they necessarily need to upgrade that spot. An upgrade would be nice, but I think they can survive with Looney. I think they need more playmaking, to be quite honest. Right now, it seems to be the only playmaking is if it's a hot Jordan Poole night or if Klay Thompson gets it going a little bit. So they need something to kind of take the load off of Steph Curry. I would be more interested in that than a big guy.
Yeah, I don't think they give up on their future. Kuminga looks fantastic, and James Wiseman's value couldn't be any lower because he hasn't played this season. And so they are in that perfect spot right now where present looks good, future looks pretty freaking good. So why would they mess with that? For, as Trey said, a slight upgrade potentially, but Kevon Looney's been playing great. He really has, and he's been healthy, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. He's usually in and out of the lineup, but he's been durable, and he has been a help for them. This is best season, and he's been around for a while.
Yeah, it's good that he's actually playing, too, because it kind of feels like Draymond's going to be missing some time here.
Yeah.
Not a lot of confidence from Bob Myers in the interview, kind of like laying out like, it might be a little bit before we actually get Draymond back, and if that's the case, you're going to like having the institutional knowledge that Looney brings.
Bobby Marks had this point that I saw, too. The Warriors have made deadline deals in the last two seasons, but when they were like going to the finals, like that stretch 5 years in a row, they never made an in-season trade. So that's fascinating in the sense, like, where do they think they fall right now in the pecking order of their title chances?
Right, and Steph always talks about the iterations of this team or the different segments of this season. First, we get to know each other. Then Klay comes back. Then we have our playoff push. And I don't think they mess with the chemistry more than... Like, Klay has already messed with the chemistry to some degree. And so, yeah, I think they just try and right the ship a little bit.
I see Terrence Ross's name linked to the Warriors, too, as an explosive off-the-bench sort of six-man type of guy. They have sort of Poole in that role, so maybe it's a little overkill. But I've seen some linking of Ross and Warriors. Okay. To the Houston Rockets. Now, The Athletic's Kelly Eco says, the Rockets say, no way Eric Gordon's getting traded. Trey Kirby called bullshit on that. And I'm with you. Eric Gordon, I have as the top trade candidate from the Rockets. Christian Wood, we could talk about him as well. But EG, under contract through 2023-24, but non-guaranteed in that final year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's shooting 45.2% from three.
You can shoot a three.
Now, Now, I believe Kelly Eco's reporting that the Rockets are saying, I don't know, we don't need to move him. Because I do think there's like some value in professional guy that's been in this league for a while, trying to teach all these young guys, you know, how to go about their business and, you know, obviously get their body right, keep their mind sharp and like the grueling, you know, the tackling a grueling season like an NBA season is. I think there's some value in that, and I get it. You want to have some of those vets around, and he's been playing awesome, but they're silly if they're not at least, of course, fielding calls. And if there's some deal that blows them away, it's too good to be true, then you're moving off Eric Gordon, right? Yeah, you would have to.
Feels like it's the time. Feels like Houston's moving in another direction, but I'm with you. You want vets in the locker room to help everybody out. It's like what's happening in Detroit as well with Jeremy Grant and Kelly Olynyk and Corey Joseph. You can get an asset for those guys. You can get an asset for Eric Gordon. The contract is a bit of a hiccup, but you've got DJ Augustine being a vet there in Houston. That's enough veteranship, I think.
They got John Wall, too, if they really want vets in the locker room. Right. Hey, play that guy who wants to play for your team. I think Eric Gordon will be traded, and I think that teams should be calling about Daniel Tice. Remember Daniel Tice?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an actual NBA player.
That's a good point.
Yeah, he's there for the Rockets for some reason. He's got a long deal, but I would imagine some team could get interested in Daniel Tice, a guy that's played in the playoffs before.
Do you think a team would offer right now a first-round pick for Eric Gordon? With how well he's shooting?
Yeah.
It seems like a lot.
You know, when you say first-round pick, there's always a P-R-O-T period afterwards. It's protected. So what's a first-round pick these days? If it's a protected top 20, are you getting from 21 to 30 a better player than Eric Gordon, former sixth man of the year, who's obviously playing to show that he can be on a championship team.
Right, right.
Let him play. I want to see EG on a championship team, being that sixth man, being the Jordan Poole role, being the Terrence Ross role. The guy can score. But, yeah, the contract is a little bit of a hindrance, I guess.
Mm-hmm. To the LA Clippers, I have Serge Ibaka on this list for really solely because they would save themselves so much money it's hilarious by trading Ibaka. $9.3 million salary. The Clippers would see their $94 million tax penalty shrink to $53 million. $41 million in savings they could do here in some sort of hypothetical Ibaka deal. You know, so a lot of people out there think you call up Sam Presti.
Yep.
You say, hey, Sam, you want a second round pick? I would love a second round pick. Absolutely.
You know me.
What do I need to do? Well, you got to take Serge Ibaka off our hands. No problem. Send him over. Send him back to OKC. And we'll take a second round pick and you can make this happen. But I do have Ibaka there. And maybe there's other teams that feel like Ibaka's still got a little something left in the tank for a playoff push. But that's an incredible amount of money you could save. And your team is also, mainly because of unfortunate injuries to your star players, they're not going far. Currently constructed. So you're going to probably do that with the books there, aren't you, Tess?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what OKC likes to do. That's why they keep their salaries low.
Yep.
You got to hit the salary floor. And
yeah, they're way below the salary floor.
Yeah, so you could ingest Serge Ibaka's contract and not trade anything back.
Right.
Zip, zip, zero. But you take a second round pick and you're happy about it. Totally. And Serge Ibaka, unfortunately, yeah, he has looked a little aged since he has come back, although he could help.
He's a great celebrator.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. He was celebrating like crazy last night.
Pumped.
Yeah. He brings good vibes.
He does.
Ingest that contract.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Unless you have anyone else on the Clippers that you could see them moving off of.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think Ibaka's good just because he's on an expiring deal. And like you're saying, maybe some team could say, hey, he's got enough for a playoff push here. And with the Paul George announcement, kind of like it feels like the Clippers are maybe we make the play-in tournament, maybe we don't.
Totally.
Kind of a gap year season for them.
I absolutely agree with that. I think they are looking at their roster with the Paul George news and the Kawhi stuff. It's like, this is a bit of a lost year, but let's just get all our young guys reps. Maybe, like you said, they get into the play-in game, even into the playoffs, who knows? And that's fine. That's great. And then we're like regroup for next season. But to save $40 million, they'll probably do that if they can.
Yeah, maybe the Bucks could talk themselves into Serge Ibaka being their backup center.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
You know, he was in the Raptors locker room when they were able to overcome the 2-0 deficit in the conference finals in 2019, where he said, you remember when I was with OKC? you remember that? And all the people in the locker, Kawhi said, no, I don't. No, I don't remember. But he said, we came back from 0-2 down, and we did it against the San Antonio Spurs. So maybe, and then the Bucks can say.
Then they'll say, yeah, we were down 2-0 in the finals, and we won the finals last year. Who cares, Serge?
Hey, get out of here, Serge. Sorry, you're cut.
Good point. All right, to the Lakers, the other LA team. There are only four things they're going to trade. All right? And we've gone over it before. Three players and a pick. Talen Horton-Tucker, Kendrick Nunn, DeAndre Jordan, sure, and the 2027 first-round pick, which is the earliest pick they could possibly move. THT and Nunn, you combine them together, that's $14.5 million, which means the max the Lakers could receive in a trade for the duo is about $18.2 million. And that's important because like some of the better players, like your Jeremy Grants and stuff, that wouldn't work with just those two. So I don't know if you have anything to add to the Lakers. Those are the only pieces that they will be moving here at the deadline, if they do at all.
No. Nothing to add. The Excel sheet is hilarious.
Yeah,
it's really funny when you look.
It's weird to look at.
Yeah, the Lakers team, they basically have like 5.5 players signed up for next season, and they're already paying them nearly $150 million, leaving the cupboard bare, as they say. I wonder how it's going to look in 2025 with the Lakers, and that's why a 2027 first-round pick, Trey said yesterday,
might be juicy.
Could be sweet.
Could be
with
sweet.
When they're starting Austin Reeves and others there in Los Angeles. They're still paying Luol Deng.
$5 million. Mm. $5 million for Deng. Who's taking a chance on Luol Deng? He could help
Mitch
in a playoff. Playoff push. All right, what about Kent Bazemore?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Remember Kent Bazemore?
I mean, he makes nothing, right?
Yeah, he makes nothing. He could be a throw-in.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I should have included him in the DeAndre Jordan portion of that, if he's chucked in there. Memphis Grizzlies. Now, I could go Kyle Anderson because of, ooh, are they going to be able to make those make the books work with him in a possible deal when he hits free agency? That's a bit of a no-brainer, and I think it's a decision we made. Now, they have immaculate vibes, as we've all talked about. Like, I don't want to rock the boat too much with this great Memphis Grizzlies team, but the money is about to get tight for them, so I think instead of Kyle Anderson, I'm going to go Jarrett Culver. All right, so obviously a lesser name than Slo-Mo. The Grizzlies did not opt in, right, to the final year of Culver's rookie contract, so they did put themselves in a position where they cannot offer him any more on the contract than what his final year of that deal would have been in free agency. So 1 year, roughly about $8 million. Grizzly Bear Blues, which is a great name for a blog, they had a trade idea I want to throw at you. Only for the sickos, okay? Warning. This is a trade only for the sickos.
We're talking Jarrett here?
That's right. They send, Memphis does, Jarrett Culver, a 2026 first-round pick, heavily protected. 1 through 24, let's say, which could turn into then two second-round picks if not conveyed. 4, John Schumann, are you listening? OKC's Kenrich Williams.
Ooh.
Now, the thinking is that Kenrich Williams can be a bit of a replacement for Kyle Anderson if he is to leave in free agency. You know, he's like that sort of 3-4 sort of power or sort of point forward hybrid. He's not as good, but he does those things. He plays some defense. He's good for 20 minutes a game. And that's the thinking. That's a sicko trade. I mean, that's Culver and probably two future second round picks for a Kenrich Williams. Thoughts?
Oh, wow. What is OKC? Why would OKC shouldn't do that? They
Said picks.
Picks.
Yeah, picks. I know.
He said a first-round pick, heavily protected, but then possibly conveyed.
I know, but you're saying that Kenrich is a poor...
Well, Culver is a young... he's number six pick, wasn't he? You think,
He is not worth a first-round pick.
No. Those days are gone, unfortunately, for Jarrett Culver. We were at the Memphis Bulls game in Memphis on MLK Day. Our buddy Dave Grisham said, is that Minnesota's Jarrett Culver running around out there? Because he was a first-round pick of the Minnesota Timberwolves, but the stock has dropped.
Well, yeah, and there's just no real spot for him on this team. There's so many good players.
No, he's got an expiring deal, and they're going to let him go. Can you turn Kyle Anderson to Kenrich Williams? If you can, you do it in a heartbeat. Because you said, that Kenrich is a poor man. No, Kenrich is a poor man's Kyle.
Yeah. He's good, though.
I love me some Kenrich. I think he could be a rich man's Kyle.
Wow.
A Ken Richman's Kyle.
There you go.
Kyle's good, but Ken Richman can play.
Ken Richman.
And he's more in line with the timeline of the Memphis Grizzlies. Kyle's 28. Kenrich, I don't know. He's got an old man's hairstyle with that Froey mullet. I don't even know what to call that thing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But I would love him to be a part of that Grizzlies team.
Okay.
Yeah, nobody knows how old Kendrick Joel is. It's literally impossible
old.
To find out.
I think it's 23. Yeah, I'm guessing.
27.
What? Okay.
Yeah, he's old.
The reason he looks old. He's 1 year younger than Kyle Anderson?
Yeah.
That's so much for your theory there that he fits the timeline better.
Yeah,
I guess,
well,
I guess
they
a
need some
bit.
Vets.
Kyle Anderson for Derek Jones Jr.
Oh, you would like that.
Call
that's
it
nice.
In.
That's very nice.
Yep.
But what's Derek? He's an expiring. That's expiring for expiring.
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah. There's got to be more coming back from the Bulls in that case.
Second round pick.
Now we're talking.
Now you're talking.
Okay.
That's my favorite thing during trade season. If your team has an underwhelming offer, just put a second round pick on it. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, a pick? Cool. Yeah. That sounds fair. Second round picks, like, you're getting a player once every five seasons who's actually good. Sure, throw a pick in.
Let's go to the Minnesota Timberwolves. I went with Taurean Prince. He's on an expiring contract. He is in and out of the rotation with Finch. He sometimes plays, like, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes a game. And then he plays, like, 4 minutes, and he doesn't even play. It's really, really odd. I think he's one of those guys, he's just a classic sort of 3-and-D guy, yeah. But is he really that? No one's really convinced he is at this point, I think. But teams talk themselves into players like that all the time, an athletic sort of wing. And, you know, maybe the Wolves would move him to try and get more scoring, a little more scoring punch. Possibly Terrence Ross again, that name comes up. You know, Jeremy Lamb, who's had a brutal year for Indiana. But if you still believe in him, bouncing back and becoming the scorer that he was. I got Prince. I don't really have anyone else. Does anyone come to mind on Minnesota as you peruse the roster? You're like stroking your Adam's apple right now, Tassin.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
Yeah, you see it a lot was. Of beard stroking,
yeah,
but rarely to the neck.
Massaging
skin.
The apple.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you shave under there and you get some wounds. I do anyways.
Yeah, sure.
And I like to just massage them out, my lesions. Anyway, not really. I don't really, but I just happened to be touching that area. So anyways, while I was touching my neck, I was reading about Kenrich Williams' hair. A lot of people calling it the puffy mullet.
Okay.
That's a great term. Anyways, yeah, I know I was also looking at the Wolves roster, multitasking. I've got a split screen. I got two browsers here on this one laptop. Taurean Prince is a real Tony Snell.
Can we get a close-up of his laptop in case people don't know what a computer looks like?
Computers have changed from the first segment of this show to the second segment of this show. Wow, technology moves fast.
You got any beef stuck in there?
Yeah, I got.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Detritus.
See how much more boring the Western Conference is here?
Well, yeah, man. You
Taurean
Prince.
Prince.
Well, who else? Give
D'Angelo
me
Russell,
nah,
dude.
Nah,
he's been in trade rumors since he got there.
Well, that's the problem. Why has he been traded before then? Why is it going to, like, suddenly going to throw in 10 second-round picks? Get me interested?
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
Realistically, I just don't think he's going to be moved. But he had a game winner last night. We didn't even talk about it. Mm. Anything about the Wolves? Nah, who cares?
Good luck.
All right. Well, it gets even worse.
Wait. What about Malik Beasley?
Yeah, okay.
I would rather trade for Malik Beasley than Taurean Prince.
Yeah,
if I was
okay.
A team.
Okay. It's going to be the same type of deal, though.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, you get one extra year, plus there's a team option on Malik Beasley's last year of his contract,
okay.
I think. So at least you get a little bit more promise, a little bit longer contract.
Well, if you thought that was bad, what about the Pelicans here? Can I interest you in Thomas Santoransky?
Oh.
Yeah. Bunch of buzz, though, that the Pelicans are going to be buyers here at the deadline and not sellers, which I think is fascinating. Seeing their name linked to a lot of the Blazers guys, like Norman Powell, who obviously just signed a deal with Blazers, CJ McCollum, if they really want to get a little juicy there and try and get him down to New Orleans. But if that's the case, or if they are making any sort of move, Satoransky's $10 million contract that is expiring is going to be included. So that's why I have him as the top trade candidate.
Yeah, like Taurean Prince expiring.
Yep.
Tradable.
Tradable.
Definitely tradable. David Griffin could put him on the table and say, hey, you're only going to pay this guy like 40% of that. Let's move on.
Exactly.
But yeah, the Pelicans are such a strange situation because of what they did in the offseason where they kind of sort of took a lateral step back. And they don't know what they're doing with Zion. It would be interesting if they were buyers. They need talent because they have heart in Josh Hart and all those guys. They need somebody to, yeah, well, they need somebody Norman Powell would fit. It would be a glut of guards, but they need somebody to score.
Okay, let's go to OKC here, the Thunder. Now, you already brought this up. They have one of the lowest payrolls in the NBA, meaning they can make any move they want, really, between now and the trade deadline.
Exciting.
They don't have to match salary for almost anybody. They could just absorb that contract without having to give back any salary in return. So that's important to note. Besides their own first, which is owed to the Hawks in the unlikely event it falls out of the top 14, which that's not happening. The Thunder have 12 future first-round picks from 9 different teams. Okay? Wild. So, who is at the top of their candidates that they would look to move? I think it might be Kenrich Williams.
Yeah.
Though we're big fans of his. He is the type of player everybody wants because, again, he's a versatile wing. He stretches the floor. He plays defense. He's a leader. You feel like he's 23, but he's 27.
Yeah.
So that's nice. They're just a weird team trying to figure it out. I mean, again, I don't know what they're going to do. I think they should be aggressively trying to get Mo Bamba if the Magic are, you know, ready to move off of all their big guys there and Mo Bamba gets pushed out of the rotation a little bit or out of their future plans. I don't know if that's the case. I'm not reporting that. I love when people say that. I'm not reporting that the Magic are actively looking to get rid of Mo Bamba.
You're the biggest Bamba fan I know.
No, that's not true. Kevin O'Connor is a bigger Mo Bamba fan than I am. But that's the type of player that these teams like the Thunder should definitely be going, yeah, we'll pair him with our guys here in Jay and Dort and stuff like that and see if he flourishes. He's actually having a pretty good year.
Right? He is.
It's not bad. It's 10-8, 2 blocks, plays like 27 minutes per game. So is there something, some sort of deal that they could make to the Magic there? Yeah, they probably could if they want to. But I have Kenrich Williams. I don't know if you have
him. He is the one.
Okay.
He's a winning player. Somebody's going to take him.
So somebody's
going to
offer Presti enough to to take him.
How much would it take? Sam, how much is going to take?
Hey, you want a pick, Sam?
Yeah.
I know you want a pick, buddy.
Yeah. Not a great pick.
How about Mike Muscala?
The Moose.
The Moose. $3.5 million this year, $3.5 million next season, a team option. Guy's shooting threes.
The Laker.
Coming back?
He's coming back to be a Los Angeles Laker to shoot threes.
I'll give you a top 55 protected second round pick for Mike Muscala.
If I could pick at number 57, I would take that.
Who's untouchable on the Thunder roster? It's SGA. Apparently it's not even Dort, but it should be. There were rumors going around that
The Dort report.
That Dort could be had. Giddy ain't going anywhere. I think they'd be silly to do that. That's probably it.
Yeah.
Anybody else can be
Don't
traded.
Trade Poku. I wouldn't trade him, but yeah.
Right. Okay.
Or Trey Mann. Trey Mann shouldn't be touched either.
Oh, wow. No. Now we got some untouchables. Phoenix Suns. Another shitty one, guys. I went with Dario Saric. Now, he's not even playing. He's out for the entire 21-22 season, I think. Tore his ACL in the finals, didn't he?
Yep.
He's under contract for next season. It's not brutal, though. It's pretty team-friendly $9.2 million contract. So I think it was Bobby Marks suggesting like a Saric, maybe Jalen Smith, because you've got, you obviously have your starting center in DeAndre Ayton, though you got to figure out what you're going to do with him in terms of money. And then maybe some sort of pick. Would they offer that to Portland, and would Portland want that for Covington, let's say? I would think so. If I'm the Blazers and I get offered that deal. Are the Suns going to be really trying to make a move here, I think, is the question at the deadline. And if so, what do they need to do?
That's good. That's a very good value for both sides. It doesn't seem like Jalen Smith is going to be there for a long time. They didn't offer him his extension or the guaranteed contract, the option on his contract, I should say. So to pair him with an injured player for Robert Covington, who could be their Torrey Craig of the playoffs, yeah, that would sort of
so
make sense.
So Saric, Jalen Smith, future probably protected first round pick for Covington.
I'd go second. I think you could get away
Blazers
with
Blazers would
second.
Sure like to get one of their first round picks. Didn't they give up 2 to get Covington?
Yes.
Whew.
But yeah. You hope that Jalen Smith could be a future player in this league.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Anyone from the Suns, you think they'll make a move here on the deadline?
I would bet against the Suns making a move just because continuity's kind of been one of their strengths. You know, they started with the 8-0 run in the bubble, went to the finals last year. They're the best team in the league through half the season right now, and that's just because they keep getting better and better, playing together more and more often. I guess you could ask the question, would they trade DeAndre Ayton? Chris Paul can make any center good. DeAndre Ayton is a really good player, and we saw in the finals he was really, really important. When he played their best, the Suns looked at their best. But if you're talking about, like, if they don't want to super max him, which he's going to get from somebody, somebody's going to give him the max in the summer, and they don't want to pay that, now would be the time to trade him.
Right, right.
I saw some things burbling. Ayton, Smith, Saric to the Bulls for Vooch, Patrick Williams, and 9,000 second round picks.
Oh, come on. No. Suns ain't doing that.
Yeah, Suns ain't doing
no
that.
No way. I mean, but I'm also thinking they're going to come to an agreement on some sort of deal. So if they don't think they are, then they'll want something in return, I guess.
I agree. I think it would be far-fetched they would trade Ayton, but I don't think it's a 100% lock that okay. He's there for his entire career.
Couple more teams. Blazers. I mean, look, you know, I talk about a swear jar when it comes to talking about trades in the Blazers. It's Covington. It's Nurkic. It's McCollum.
It's Dame.
It's not Dame.
It's possible.
Dame will not be traded at this deadline. I'll bet you.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good bet to make and a bad bet to take by me. I agree. But just look at it. This is the time to trade him. This is the time. 32 years old. He's talking about his future and where it goes from here. I think it's unlikely, especially because he's injured and he won't be playing before the trade deadline. But if you want to try and rehabilitate your franchise after this era that has not worked out with McCollum and Lillard, it's time. I think it's time.
So you're going to trade him for Ben Simmons?
Yes.
Really?
And you're talking about the cupboard that the Philadelphia 76ers have of picks. Daryl Morey has got no problem emptying that cupboard. I'll give you all the picks plus Ben for Dame.
Thoughts?
Hey, I would love it. I wouldn't love it. I would feel sad for the Blazers fans. But, I mean, Tass is right. It's time. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think Lillard is there until he gets that huge deal, and then perhaps we will see some movement.
Yeah, see, you got to do it now.
Or else
you're not going to get the same value for him, or he leaves on his own, or he demands a trade. Simmons is probably going to be, I think, the best player that you'd get back for him, considering his age. Simmons and Simons in the backcourt, again, love it. And Philadelphia will give you every pick they got. I don't know how many picks they have off
the top.
Here's
my question with the Blazers. Who warrants an emergency podcast? Obviously, if Dame gets traded, we're jumping on the phone, or we're here in the Classic Fraction, we're doing one immediately. But CJ McCollum gets traded tomorrow. Emergency podcast?
Yep.
Okay. Nurkic?
You betcha.
I mean,
Covington?
Yeah!
It's tough, man. We did a Cam Reddish emergency podcast.
Yeah, but it was perfect timing. We were like, just finished our show. We were right here. There's no way we were driving back to the Classic Factory for a Cam Reddish trade.
We could do a live stream from our cars.
Well, yeah, we
could. Don't touch the phone. Yeah, put the phone on the dash, lock it off, and just talk to the phone. Don't even look at it. Just drive properly.
All right. So you're basically saying we're doing an emergency podcast for any sort
keep
of trade.
Going.
Covington?
Keep going. Nasir Little, CJ Ellaby, second round pick, a conditional second round pick, cash consideration. Yes.
we gotta do an emergency podcast about a second round pick. Like, whatever the worst trade is, we gotta do it.
All right, we'll try that. So a couple more teams. Kings. Oh my God, just like the Blazers. I have them in order, most likely to move here. Buddy Hield, Marvin Bagley III, because I think they're going to be paired together.
Oh,
Harrison Barnes.
I forgot about that guy.
And then De'Aaron Fox. It's been an emergency trade.
Good call.
Spam risk.
Jesus Christ, this show is off the rails. I knew we shouldn't have done the Western Conference. I knew it.
I thought I was muted.
The Kings. Everybody available?
I think the answer is no. Tyrese Haliburton.
I decided in that
instance that Tyrese Haliburton ain't going anywhere.
Okay.
If you have to package him to get off of somebody you don't want, I said no.
No.
Keeping Tyrese.
Okay. Tyrese.
Keeping Tyrese.
Everybody else could go.
Yep. And I think Harrison Barnes is probably the number one with a bullet to be traded.
Okay.
I think he would be the one.
Yeah, I agree. I think Harrison Barnes is the player that if you're looking at the Kings and you're a contending team saying we're one piece away, maybe it could be Harrison Barnes, a large wing, kind of a small ball four, hits threes, has played in the finals. I think he's the easiest to talk yourself into as an added piece, or maybe Buddy Hield is as well, though his contract is a little bit more, just shooting threes. Yeah. But yeah, it's kind of hard to find an untouchable player on the old Sacramento Kings. I guess Halliburton would be the guy.
Are the Bulls like calling the Kings about Harrison Barnes?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Bulls are very, very quiet right now, I would say. Not Ooh. Hearing much. Not hearing much, which tends to be the case with AK.
Mm. All right. San Antonio Spurs. I have Thaddeus Young at the top of their list. Same reasons as a lot of these guys I've mentioned with some of the previous teams. Expiring $14.2 million contract. He is obviously he can play the front court positions. He can play a backup five. I wonder if the Bucks. I wonder if that'd be a wild little move there. Could the Bucks get Thaddeus Young as like insurance backup five position? He's a little obviously a little smaller than your normal fives, but he can play it, and he's just that veteran presence. But I think the Spurs, they don't make a lot of moves during the regular season. They already made one though with Forbes. If they get offered, you know, it's not going to take a whole lot to get Thaddeus Young. I think he could be on the move.
Yes. Optimist, if you love the trades, you say, look at the Spurs roster with all these first-round picks, all these young guys that they've assembled over the years, and you say, package them up for a Sabonis. Package them up for a good player who's on the block. Lonnie Walker, Devin Vassell, who they probably want to keep, Josh Primo. They've got so many guys at the guard spot. But realistically, and that's what we do here on No Dunks, we don't, you know, jump the gun and say everyone's going to be dealt. Thaddeus Young is probably the guy on an expiring deal. He's your Daniel Tice. He's in that Serge Ibaka family. Tradable.
For sure.
And a championship team would love to have a guy like that.
Yeah, basically the same exact thing as Bryn Forbes. He's on a deal that ends this year, a veteran player who makes more sense for a team that's trying to win right now. So that'll be weird. Spurs suddenly making two trades in the middle of a season. Yeah. Got to do an emergency podcast.
All right, final team is the Utah Jazz. I thought this one was difficult. They're obviously on a bit of a slide right now because they're missing a lot of their guys. I just am curious whether they're going to trade a little offense for defense. And so the two names I have on the list that maybe they look to move, I think it's unlikely, but maybe, Joe Ingles or Jordan Clarkson. Again, with the idea, let's get a little more defense in here for a playoff push. A wing guy. We got Royce O'Neal. He does a fine job, but we could probably use a little bit more. And, you know, Ingles and Clarkson, they're not having great offensive years either. So maybe they look to move one of those guys. But I thought this was a tough team to pick, too.
They have that need, that's for sure. Yeah. It's an interesting conundrum, though, because you're still going to be starting Mitchell, Conley, and Bogdanovich as your sort of wing guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so is there a defensive guy out there that would match up for Ingles or Clarkson? I mean, yeah, it makes sense, offense for defense for them, but I don't know.
Don't love it.
I think Ingles is a little bit more realistic. It feels like his name is actually coming up in rumors a little bit right now, and his contract is expiring at the end of this season. A little bit of duplication, I think, with him and Jordan Clarkson. They were both the sixth man of the year candidates last year. So you can't have two sixth men. One of them has to be seventh. Might as well trade the seventh one to get a different seventh man who does something a little bit different. I can see that happening, though. The Jazz are kind of a let's not rock the boat kind of team in general.
As we wrap this up here, which team are you praying makes a move in the next 2 weeks? For whatever reason you want. Is it the Kings? Is it the Blazers? Is it the Sixers for obvious reasons with Ben Simmons? Like, or another team that you're just like, I just want them to make a deal of some note.
I think it's Philly for me.
Okay.
Me too. Because if the Philadelphia 76ers don't trade Ben Simmons, we're going to have 3 months of reverse trade rumors. Basically saying, why didn't the Philadelphia 76ers trade Ben Simmons? Here's who they could have had who right, did get traded. Right, and right. Then we're going to go into the summer. And we're going to have the same trade rumors about Ben Simmons once again.
I could definitely see these were the packages that were on the table. Yeah. Is it tampering if Daryl Morey goes on radio and says the Kings offered X, X, and X?
Yeah, I don't think he can name the players. But he can name the team. I think he sort of said that.
Yeah,
even
maybe
on that
he can
one.
Say like they offered a wing.
Yeah.
Yeah, be very vague about it.
Yeah, Barris and Harnes. Yeah, that kind of.
Yeah, it's possible.
They offered a wing from Iowa. Could be anyone.
Yeah, that is a great point because when they inevitably don't trade Ben Simmons here in the next 2 weeks, then the Sixers are going to get into playoff series. And if they lose to Team X, it's going to be like, see? You could have had this player, and he would have sure helped to slow down that player that lit you up for 38 or whatever that helped for Embiid.
I mean, we still hear about the Lakers not trading for Kyle Lowry at last deadline. Right, right. Like, could have had him for THT. Could have easily had him if you wanted to. Not to mention, we'll also get the questions of, Sixers are looking good. I think Ben Simmons could actually play for this team in the playoffs?
Yeah, for sure.
No thanks.
Yeah. Okay, so you just got me thinking about the Jazz, because I do want them to utilize this window that they have here.
Yep.
This is dumb, but Mike Conley for Marcus Smart?
Whoa. Mike for Mark.
I don't love it.
The Celtics have a vet, Mike Conley, to get everybody going. He's old, obviously, unfortunately,
like
for Conley them.
On the Celtics.
I was
going to
say,
I don't
like it from the Jazz side of things as much.
He's right beside Donovan. As a secondary playmaker.
No, I'm going to keep Conley in this case.
Okay.
But the Jazz are weird right now because their guys aren't there, and they looked like one of the elite teams of the league, and now struggling. Far from it here. Yeah, struggling. But hey, if you're going to struggle right now, late January, get it together for the final couple months. Okay, we're going to take our last break. When we come back, though, TK's got the tweet of the night, and I'm going to spoil it. We're going to be talking about this new Rising Stars format, which is pretty wild.
Mm-hmm.
So don't go anywhere. Back with No Dunks in the Classic Factory. Before we get to Trey's tweet of the night, somebody in live time here tweeted me, Matthew P. Upshur. He said, you just asked on the pod what it would look like to remove Jokic or Embiid from their teams. Here's an interesting way to look at it. And he pointed me in the direction of this tweet from Andy Bailey, who says, the Nuggets have the point differential of a 63-win team with Jokic on the floor and that of a 10-win team when he's off. The 76ers have the point differential of a 58-win team with Embiid on the floor and of a 37-win team when he's off. So, there you go. The numbers have our answer, at least in terms of point differential when we're talking about removing those guys.
Jokic MVP.
Lock it in.
Also at the top of Basketball Reference's MVP tracker.
Lock it in.
He's going to be the advanced stats MVP guaranteed.
Lock it in.
Love it.
Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Three Tweets of the Night. They've already been seen by everybody out there, but we're talking about them right now. First one from Shams. Sources, the NBA has a new format for the Rising Stars at All-Star Weekend. 4 7-player teams competing in a 3-game tournament. Each game has a final target score. It's going to be 12 rookies, 12 sophomores, and for the first time, 4 G League Ignite players.
Okay.
Interesting. Second tweet from Shams. The Rising Stars at All-Star Weekend will have a clutch challenge in the middle of games 2 and 3 where 8 NBA and G League Ignite players are divided into 4 teams of 2 to make 5 baskets from locations of iconic NBA playoff shots.
Yes.
Third one. The 2 semifinal games will be played to a final target score of 50. The final game will be played to a final target score of 25. That's a total of 75 points in honor of the NBA's 75th anniversary season.
Wow.
That's a lot of things.
Yeah.
A lot of changes for the Rising Stars Challenge, which I'll say, worst part of All-Star Weekend currently is the Rising Stars
100%.
Challenge.
100%.
Yeah. So this is a little confusing how it's actually going to happen. Once we see it happen, it's probably going to be better than what's currently going on, because the last like 5 minutes of the current Rising Stars Challenge is it's almost a dunk contest, right? It's like, okay, let's see Jalen Green. Let's see what kind of cool moves you can do. So even though this seems pretty crazy and they're like, we threw every idea we had for a basketball into this one tournament. That's kind of what it feels to me. This is like making a decadent quiche. Throw in every vegetable you have in the fridge. Why not? Potatoes? You got leftover french fries? Throw them in. I don't care.
I had no idea that was what a quiche did. But yeah, go on.
I would say frittata is more for the junk, but I mean, same difference. It's just all about the crust is the difference. Nonetheless.
Throw your whole kitchen sink out there. Everything but the kitchen sink.
Everything but the kitchen sink would be a good name on a menu. Hey, what, are we?
I thought you were having a stroke for a second. Honestly, I was like, "Is he okay?"
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks.
You got there.
Might be a little juice though for the old Rising Stars challenge.
Absolutely.
So that's cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. My other question for you is, what shots do you think they're going to include?
Yeah, that's fun. Okay, hold on. This is called the Clorox Clutch Challenge. Mm. This is two ball.
Bleach ball.
I mean, do you remember two ball? I mean, we're the weirdos that remember all the All-Star Weekend events. That's basically what this was. It was teams of two. You took shots. You alternated shots. That's what they're doing here.
Yep.
And I remember liking two ball. So I'm excited to see it come back in some form here. But yeah, where will the shots be? Mark me down for a Damian Lillard walk-off
bomb. Nice.
So I'll take one of those.
Uh-huh.
Put me down for a Jordan,
at
the free throw line.
Maybe a Derek Fisher, perhaps.
I'm thinking it's going to be players on the top 75 list, though.
Ray Allen, corner three.
Mm.
Bingo.
Magic Johnson, Skyhook.
Similar location, I guess, to Jordan, right? Where was he?
He was in the lane.
Yeah. All right.
I think that one's a guarantee. Kawhi Leonard's bounce shot?
You gotta replicate it.
Yeah, it just says from the location.
Yeah,
like you're saying, they're just gonna be shooting there.
Yeah, you don't have to back up like Ray. You just have to shoot it, you know?
That's a good point. Just a corner three.
I'm on a Lillard. I just think that's gonna be there for some reason. Sure. A Lillard, I like the Ray Allen corner, and I like the Jordan at the free throw line over the Cavs. Maybe even just Jordan's jumper against the Jets. I guess that's a possibility, too.
I mean, they could do five Michael Jordan shots if they wanted to. So I think a free throw is what it's going to be, because that could be the Jazz shot or the Cavs shot. Take your pick.
Right.
Yeah. Top 75 part is interesting. Otherwise, you could have what the stream team mentioned here. Phil Law 1-2-3 says Kyrie shot on the Dubs. Sidestep three there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling it's going to be shots of players on the...
Maybe.
On the top 75 list. 76 list, I guess.
But I guess maybe you got that in your brain because some of the top 75 members will be coaching these teams here in the tournament on Friday.
I just think the synergy
there's a lot
of
things
all.
Happening. Yes, of course. It's top 75 weekend. We'll be celebrating the top 75 weekend ourselves with a little no-dunk spin. That's a tease for you coming up. But I think Friday, yes, it's complicated, as Trey said. Everything you've ever heard about a basketball game, the Elam ending, shots from locations, a tournament, a halftime event. It's all complicated when you're reading four tweets. I read it over and over and over. But yes, zoom out. Friday, even for us sickos, every All-Star weekend it's a bit LOL. It's just, it's the anticlimactic part of the weekend where the rooks and the sophomores get in there and they throw the ball up and they don't care. But Elam endings... they kind of solve everything, you know?
you got to play for something.
Yeah, and so you'll have two games to get to 50. You'll have this event before the finals, and that's followed up by a game to 25.
And that's up to 75.
Yeah.
Total points.
So done and done. I think it'll be interesting. It'll be better.
Maybe. I mean, better because they're shorter games, I guess.
You got something. One, you got something to play for.
I don't think it's a lock they're going to be better.
I think the night as a whole will be better. You got something to play for. Again, the Elam ending, you've got this eventual thing you got to get to, and fans know that at home. So, yeah, mess it up. Like, we just saw what happened in the NFL playoffs in overtime. You don't screw with things in the playoffs. But when you're talking about an All-Star weekend... screw it
get
up.
Get creative, okay.
Yeah, so Friday is better.
You want to get creative? I've got a great idea for an All-Star Weekend event.
Sure.
Must-watch event would be the best event of the weekend, guaranteed. It only works during the 75th anniversary. We get every player on the 75th anniversary team. Line them up. Can they still dunk?
Wow.
Michael Jordan, you think he can still dunk?
Yeah.
Shaq?
Yeah.
Yes.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Yes.
Wow, he's a big guy.
Big guy?
He's
old guy?
I don't know.
Shaq couldn't dunk for a long time after his career was over, remember? He would try in the NBA
but I think
TV
he can
studios.
Now.
Yeah, I think he can now. Dr. J, I remember, would have his famous things. Like, every year he would go out on his birthday and dunk. Magic Johnson?
No, no way.
He's working out on a boat, but he looks a little heavier.
So. Can they dunk? I'm telling you, this would be must-watch TV.
Would be.
Every legend in NBA history? Man, I wonder, Bob Pettit, he's still alive? Can he dunk? Let's find out.
I like it. Yeah, this would be the year to do it.
This would be the year. This would be
the
only
year
to do it.
You know, unfortunately, a training staff and stretchers all lined up. There'd be a lot of blown out
just
one
jump,
though.
Just a single jump. Dominique Wilkins, can he dunk?
You betcha.
Do you? Do you?
I'll bet on
you'd be tuning in to find out.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Back to the little tournament here. How are they going to do, how are we doing the drafting of teams? Are we just going to, get the rosters and then the league's just going to put them on squads?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Right, because it's going to be a jumble of rookies, sophomores, and then these couple of Ignite players. Is that what's going to happen?
I think so.
Yeah? And you're fine with that?
Yeah.
You don't want them to pick the teams?
I would be pissed if I was the 25th rising star and I got left off for a G League player, I'll tell you that much.
Well,
I don't know about that. Or if I was the fifth best G League Ignite player.
That's more like
emergency podcast for G League snubs.
Yes, yes. All right, well, let's hear what people think of this new Rising Stars format. Are you going to be tuning in on Friday night to see this little tournament, to see this new challenge? Did you even tune in to Friday night's Rising Stars game as it was?
Right.
Because that was the one I definitely checked out the most on.
Of course.
I'm like, I'll watch the highlights.
Yeah,
I don't need to sit here for a couple hours.
Celebrity game is better than the Rising Stars game.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe they should get a 4-point line.
Is that happening? Probably not.
It's a great question.
Probably not.
It would be nice when they announce all these changes to include who is playing in these games already. Say LaMelo Ball is going to be out there. Why the heck wouldn't you get excited for that?
Yeah, that'll be
degree.
Coming. Don't worry, right?
I know.
That'll be content
we'll
be talking about.
But we could be debating if LaMelo Ball will be the guy shooting from the Damian Lillard spot. Will he make it? Kind of stuff.
Lots of time. I do like my final note. On the actual challenge part, there was in the details on NBA.com, they're doing the thing where, the first team goes, they set their time. And then the second squad comes up, and if they just have to beat that time to advance, you know what I mean? So the first team sets the mark, and then it's just next team, can you beat that? Oh, now you've got it. Can the third team beat it? There's no
advance to what?
Well, it's just the best time obviously wins. There's no redoing of it, I guess is what I'm saying. You only get one crack at it.
Yeah, you're not advancing. It's one team wins.
But... So is the winner of the Clorox Challenge...
Yes, fastest time.
That's different than the winner of the Rising Stars Tournament?
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
It's a team of two.
They have the shootout thing. That's the Clorox. And then there's the games.
Huh.
Yeah.
Just watch.
Yeah. No, definitely. They're two separate things.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a little tournament. The shots that we're talking about.
There are going
about,
to be
game,
four,
the playoff spots.
Four things happening on Friday night. Three games... 2-50, 1-25, the finals, and then this Clorox Challenge, which is basically two ball.
Two games, and then they shoot from spots that playoff legends have been made before, and they have a race. It's a race to make the shots.
That's exactly right.
Then they sit down, and then the tournament resumes to 25 points.
All right,
points.
Let's get them back out here. It's going to be hilarious.
I don't know why I thought that the Clorox Challenge was part of the game. If you win that, you get 5 points off your Elam ending or something like that.
No,
Clorox.
Different.
The Clorox thing is just strange. Clorox and basketball doesn't seem to mix. Maybe they'll clean the floor.
Yeah, it's possible.
Losers have to clean the floor.
Let's hear everybody's thoughts on this madness that's going to be going down on Friday night. Are we doing a watch party for this?
Yep.
Only for the challenge.
Okay. Pick 'em results brought to you by BetMGM from last night. It was the Lakers-Nets game. Lakers were favored by 3.5 on the road. We had AD possibly coming back. He did come back. He played. And the Lakers looked pretty solid there. Nets shorthanded. No KD, of course, no Kyrie because they're at home. Harden had his triple-double, but they lost, and that's an L for Tass and Trey, which is fascinating because Lee was with me taking the Lakers. We got the victory. I'm 10-6. I'm clear of these guys. I will not be having to owe another pick and payoff. I already owe two still. But you, two guys here, and Lee, who's still playing with Lego at home, are all 6-10. And there are four nights left in January for us to pick games. The rest of this week, tonight, Thursday, Friday, and then Monday is January 31st. So
you're not clear?
I guess I'm technically not clear. Well, I mean,
I guess because we're not taking opposites.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm clear, baby.
Congratulations, man.
Okay, so what's our game tonight?
The Dallas Mavericks have been playing very well, although they're coming off a loss last night. Golden State Warriors was a 37-point smack in the end. Playing against Portland Trailblazers team that also has been playing better, 6-4 in their last 10. So Dallas going into Portland, both back-to-backs. Portland, a 4.5-point dog at home, so I'm comfortable taking those 4 points. Well, you guys believe, the three of you all believe, that the Mavericks will win by 5 or more because, again, they have been playing their best ball of the season.
Yep, both in back-to-back situations. Obviously, the Blazers staying at home, they're helped out there, and you're right, they got some points to play with. This could definitely be a close game, but I like a little bit of a bounce back performance from the Mavericks.
Gotta be a bounce back. Also, I think it's the third game in 4 nights for both of these teams.
Ooh.
Gonna be an ugly one.
Could be.
I do believe this shall be an ugly game.
Okay.
A lot of games on the sked this evening.
Good luck, good luck, good luck to you. Thank you to the Stream Teamers for joining us for another long episode from the No Dunks Classic Factory. Send in your questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok @NoDunksInc. And grab yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks. Nice deal on right now to get all that gold content, especially as we get closer to the deadline. We got all our guys and gals plugged in to all these teams. I think there's like
a live blog.
There's a live blog with like
the juicy
reports. Wow, they already got it going. Yeah. So go to theathletic.com/NoDunks to get yourself an athletic subscription. All right, we'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern, live on YouTube. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, hit up the No Dunks YouTube channel later today. What is it, Wednesday?
Yeah.
Nice little treat for you. Top 5 fun. I won't say what it is.
You don't want to spoil it. You don't want to spoil it. Embrace the day, people.